This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic-Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and joyful to be with you today. I certainly am. We have lots going on here in the world today, and we are so happy that we can have holy conversation together, that we can continue to explore how to live the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and to share it with others in contentious times, right? And it seems as though our days are marked by contention. But nonetheless, I'm thinking about this very beautiful scripture passage, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, right? And we can resound that and sing that and proclaim that and live in that and see what we can do together as we continue to be his face, his representatives in this, our day and time. We're live for you right here, always eager to hear from you. Our phone lines are open for you. We've got Michael Birchfield up there on the phones, and we have Jeff Burson at the helm of our ship today, leading us into safe harbor as we make our way through these waters of the airwaves, right? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live as we continue to have holy conversation with you. 833-288-EWTN, toll free for you right here in North America. We have a number for you if you're outside of North America. It begins with country code 1-205-271-2986. Always do like to remind you that we are out there for you on EWTN Radio's Facebook page and YouTube channel. So get on out there, and we're going to give you a big howdy hey wave right now, and it's good to see you and have you with us today. We can take your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement by using the little chat feature there. So you use that little chat feature, and you click on it, and it comes up, and Jeff Burson gets it, and he puts it up here on the board for me so that I can get to it. Always love to hear from you in all manners of ways. Well, you know, gee whiz, what to talk about at the beginning of the program today? There's just so much that we could talk about. I think it's always important for us to remember that in every age, God is with us. And even as we face these pesky situations, these egregious moments that happen to us in our lives, that the Lord is with us, we must keep our focus on that reality. And we must strive to see the grace in every grace that is incumbent in every trial, the blessing that is there for us. Many of you know, I think at this point in time, that my father of 92 years passed away on September the 11th. And, Dad was a lovely man, and I've shared with you about him in the past, just a wonderful guy, kind, diplomatic. He could have a temper, though. But for the most part, he was a pretty placid individual. And he was also a very intelligent man, and he was a wise man. And he would help my sister and I, you know, through our lifetimes to make good, solid decisions. And I know that she and I are both going to miss Dad in incredible ways. And I was thinking that, you know, there's never, a good time to say goodbye to someone, you know. Dad struggled in the last week of his life. He had a difficult last week. But for the most part, his 92 years were lived in really a splendid state. He was a cancer survivor. He fought bladder cancer in 2002 and won that battle, and it wasn't bladder cancer that took him. He was a real fighter in so many ways, and he fought strong and hard, especially in this last year of his life, and especially that last week. And even though you know that somebody's 92 and you're going to lose them at some point in time, obviously, it's always a surprise, and it's always a shock. So I would ask you please to pray for the repose of his soul. His name was Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, Willis Simon. If you would please pray for my dad, for the repose of his soul. And for my sister and I, as we head through this time of making preparation for his viewing and for his funeral, which will happen later, actually Sunday and Monday of next week, I would really appreciate it. I would really appreciate it. And your prayers, just to, I think, help for us to go through all that's involved when you lose your last parent. So thank you for that. It's just a little personal note here. Giving you the number again by which you can reach us live here on Women of Grace Live, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have holy conversation with you. We do, we do, we do. It's always a great way for us to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today is Monday, September the 17th. It's the feast of one of my favorite saints, St. Robert Bellarmine. I love St. Robert Bellarmine. That's always the way we pronounced it. I know that some say Bellarmine. I don't know what is the correct pronunciation, but I went to St. Robert Bellarmine Elementary School as a child in East McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that's the way the sisters pronounced it, so that's the way I've always pronounced it. And he was just a tremendous man of God, brilliant man of God, great theologian, contributed so much to the life of the church. And I've got a lovely quote for you from him today. And it comes from his work on the ascent to the mind of God. Just think about that for a moment, right? On the ascent to the mind of God. My goodness, that would be an ascent to infinitude, wouldn't it? And this is what he says. Prosperity and adversity, wealth and poverty, health and sickness, honors and humiliations, life and death, in the mind of the wise man, are not sought for their own sake, nor avoided for their own sake. But if they contribute to the glory of God and your eternal happiness, then they are good and should be sought. If they detract from this, they are evil and must be avoided. Isn't that interesting? And notice that what he does is he sets up a contrast. He sets up opposites here, doesn't he? Right at the very beginning, prosperity and adversity, wealth and poverty, health and sickness, honors and humiliations, life and death, in the mind of the wise man, are not sought for their own sake, nor avoided for their own sake. But if they contribute to the glory of God and your eternal happiness, then they are good and should be sought. If they detract from this, they are evil and must be avoided. What an amazing statement. What an amazing quote to ponder. And here's a little question to help you do so. What current joy and what current sorrow has God permitted me to contribute to my good? What current joy and what current sorrow has God permitted me to contribute to my good? What an interesting question to ask ourselves. In everything, God desires to be present. He's always with us. He never leaves us. He's with us in prosperity. He's with us in adversity. He's with us in wealth. He's with us in poverty. He's with us in health. He's with us in sickness. He's with us in honors and humiliations, life and death. He's there. He's always there. And that means there's always something to be mined, a treasure that ought to be mined there. All of them can be useful for our eternal salvation, for our eternal happiness, and for the glory of God, if we but permit ourselves to be infused with God's own wisdom. We receive that gift through our confirmation. We get it at baptism. It's reinforced in confirmation, strengthened. How much do we use it? So let's think about that. What joy are you experiencing today, or what sorrow that has God entrusted to you that it might contribute to your good? Love to hear about it right here on Women of Grace Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Saturday via EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many good affiliates. Thanking you always for listening to us. And I invite you to share the good news with others that we're available at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Saturday. Do want to let you know, too, that you can email your questions to us. And on those days when we dip into our email and do an email bag show, we'll go get your question up there. So why not email us at Women of Grace, women, plural, Women of Grace, all one word, Women of Grace at EWTN.com. Jeff will get it. He'll give it to me, and boom, It's up there for one of our broadcasts, womenofgrace@ewtn.com, inviting you certainly to join us that way and every which way that you can out there for you today on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And you can keep Michael Birchfield very busy today, which I always like, by giving us a call. Here's the toll-free number for those of you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone, give us a buzzeroo, and we get your call right here on the air. You know who did that? Helen. Helen did it. She's in Virginia. She is listening to us via, let's see, WOUX. Good morning, Helen.
And a good morning to you.
Thank you.
You had a question, right? We're supposed to respond to what gives us joy.
Yes.
Do I understand it correctly?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what gives me joy. Great joy. Every morning I make time to read the Bible and I find the truth right there.
Yes. It's there, isn't it?
Yeah. And it speaks to me. And guess what? It's not a woman speaking to a woman. It's a man speaking to a woman.
Usually it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, right? Through sacred scripture.
Well, I mean, if I may say so, the words, if it says, you know, I have one that has red letters, and Jesus said, so Jesus is speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And, of course, it is by the grace of the Holy Spirit that I understand it the way it's supposed to be understood.
Truly.
So that gives me joy.
Good.
What does not give me joy is when it's distorted. For instance, in the Catholic Church, there's an obsession with Mary worship and Mary veneration. Mary, pray for me. That, to me, is sad because I find no justification. And my dear Catholic friends don't see that they can speak up and say, wait a minute, the Bible doesn't teach that. So let's leave that alone because we can all read what Jesus wants from us, what God wants from us, and Jesus never said, oh, by the way, you got to ask my mother, Mary. No, it's the other way around. Ask in Jesus' name.
So, therefore, Helen, let's just chit-chat about this for a moment, honey. Let me ask you a question. Are you Catholic, or have you ever been Catholic? Have you ever practiced the faith?
I grew up, and I never, never felt close to Jesus or to God in the Catholic Church.
Oh, I'm so sorry for that. My experience was just the opposite.
I'm sorry you asked the question.
Oh, I'm happy to hear your answer.
Because we were not given a Bible, because we had to learn the catechism, because the teachers, the priests, were always right, and we had to do what was expected of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, my gosh, there's got to be more to this. So I left the church and I said, I found a Bible. I found the Old Testament. I found the New Testament. Wow, that's what I'm supposed to read. So unfortunately, churches can be misguided, and it behooves me as a believer to be a seeker.
So Helen, I think that... let's talk about this for a moment, please, because I think I've given you a lot of girth here to express yourself, and you've expressed yourself and explained what you mean very articulately. And I thank you for that explanation of your notion of the church. But I do want to remind you of a couple of things. If you attend Mass every Sunday, you hear sacred scripture. You hear both the teachings of the apostles given us through two readings. You hear also the Psalms expressed through the responsorial psalm, and you hear sacred scripture. And if you attend Mass for 3 years, you're going to hear the entirety of the Bible there. So far from repressing people from the Word of God, the Catholic Church extols the Word of God. And if you go to daily Mass, you also have opportunity for that through the Gospel readings and the reading from the Old Testament and the responsorial psalm. So the Church never has tried to repress people from knowing sacred scripture or learning sacred scripture. And we get into a big discussion on when printing presses were found around and the way in which, people were taught the faith, etc. But there is no Protestant denomination that exists on its own. All of them fell away from the Catholic Church and denominated. That's why they're called denominations and the Church isn't, because she's primary. They are denominations. I would also like to express this to you, sweetheart. The fact of the matter is, it was the Church herself who gave us the Bible. It was she in the early days of the Church who determined what were inspired readings and what weren't. We know for a fact that in the early church community, everything was by oral tradition. It was all given by word of mouth. And when the words began to be put down, it was the Church that determined which one of those writings would be considered to be inspired. And she gave us the canon of sacred scripture. So because you love the Bible, you owe a debt of gratitude to Holy Mother Church, who gave us sacred scripture. Additionally, I would like to correct your misunderstanding on the Blessed Virgin Mary. We do not worship her. We never have worshiped her. As a matter of fact, the Church teaches us against worshiping her. And as recently as the Second Vatican Council, Mary is included in Lumen Gentium, which is, the one document that's in there, and speaks to us about what is proper veneration of Our Lady. Why would we treat her any less than Jesus himself treated her? Why would we treat her any less than she was extolled in sacred scripture? And from the very first moment that we meet our Blessed Lady in sacred scripture, we discover that the angel from heaven came and knelt in front of her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." So why would we diminish who she is? Jesus never diminished who she is. Jesus learned his Jewish faith from his mother, and she was with him every step of his journey. From the very beginning, the conception of him in the womb, all the way to Calvary, she was there. And Jesus paid her abundant compliments time and time again, reminding everyone of the fact that she was the one who heard the word of God and accepted it, just as Elizabeth had proclaimed through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, being primary among all Christians, being primary among all of the great people of the Church, our Blessed Lady deserves hyperdulia, which means she deserves great veneration. She deserves great acknowledgement. Jesus himself gave us his mother from the cross. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He intended for us to have his mother, to lead us and to guide us through time, just as she led and guided him through time. I feel badly for you, honey, that you have this twisted notion of what devotion to Our Lady is truly all about, and I would encourage you to dig deeper. I think you've been prejudiced abundantly by what you've received in whatever sect you belong to at this present moment, and I would invite you to a re-exploration of what you had in the Catholic Church and what you had in the sacramental structure of the Church. I agree with you. The Bible ought to be read every day. And if you listen to EWTN or watch it, you're going to see that it's proclaimed abundantly through the airwaves through a Catholic cable network that is the largest religious network in the world. There's a reason for that. We need to bring people back home to the faith. And you would be one that I would love to see join us once again. God bless you, sweetheart. And thank you very, very much for your call today. And friends, you can join us too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have holy conversation with you. And we like to talk about issues that are important to your life and issues that are important to your faith. We have Peggy with us. She's calling us from Buffalo, New York today, listening to us via Stations of the Cross. Hey, Peggy.
Hi, Jeanette. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm a fairly new listener to EWTN, and I'm very touched and moved by so much. And kudos to the wonderful response to the previous caller, because my devotion to the Blessed Mother has increased so very, very much. I've been a Catholic all my life. I've never left our wonderful, wonderful church, and I'm just growing because of EWTN.
Oh, thank you, Peggy. That's wonderful news.
Oh, it is joyful, and it was my wonderful son who turned me onto this, which is a blessing in itself. But my reason for calling you is to just give you my sympathies, because, you know, very often when we lose a parent who's older, my mother was 94 and finally died of dementia and Alzheimer's. And people would always say, well, she had a wonderful long life. And she did. She did have a wonderful long life. She was a nurse in World War II, and she was an Army nurse, and she was a supervisor of hospitals, and had a wonderful Catholic faith. You know, but when people would say, well, she had a good long life, it was time. Yes, we know that when you get to that age, it is time. But I had her longer. I had her longer. And even though she had dementia and Alzheimer's her last couple of years, I grew even closer to her, even though sometimes she didn't even know who I was. And so I sympathize so greatly with you and your pain and your grief. And even thinking about my mom kind of brings a little bit of emotion back again, because it's 5 years, but it's your mother.
Yes.
And I lost my dad much earlier, but it's still fresh sometimes, even though I know that you know she is with God. I have no doubt about that. But it's difficult. You had him for 92 years, and he was special in your life, from what you said. So I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you.
Thank
and
you,
the difficulty
Peggy.
and the days ahead.
Thank you so much, Peggy. I truly appreciate it. And, you know, we stand in those prayers when we go through difficult times. And it's one of the great gifts of intercessory prayer for others, is that they're palpable. And I remember when, you know, I lost my son and then my late husband, you know, you can feel prayer. It's an amazing thing. And to know that you're praying for me helps me to appreciate and understand how it is that I'm being buoyed up at this time. And as we walk this path, you know, we're all going to have our opportunity to meet our Lord face to face, unless he comes again. I don't think he's going to come again very swiftly. World is not ready for him to come again. He's giving us more time out of his mercy. But the fact of the matter is we will all have that opportunity. And I pray that, you know, I can meet it with strength and with faith. My dad exhibited that for us, and it was a beautiful passing. Dad had the opportunity to receive viaticum. He had the opportunity for, you know, the last rites and the apostolic pardon, which means so much. And it gives me opportunity, too, to speak to that. You know, friends, there's this beautiful, and Peggy, you might know of this, I don't know. There's this beautiful apostolic pardon that Holy Mother Church provides for us. And it comes by way of the church. And it remits, you know, the temporal effects of sin. So that means that if we're disposed to receive that great prayer, then we have this opportunity to, you know, make great progress very quickly. So the apostolic pardon is a prayer that we should have. Lots of priests that were trained in seminary in the last 20, 25 years, maybe 30 even, are not familiar with it, but it's a prayer that's available, and it's one that I always recommend. And it gives us, I'm sure that you have the same situation, Peggy. It gives you great hope when your parents die with the sacraments, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know where I would be without my Catholic faith and my sacraments all my life. And I've got to admit, I've also gone back to reconciliation because of my son, who is a wonderful listener of EWTN.
What a wonderful young man he is.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I have two boys, and they're both amazing. And my son has called me to go back to reconciliation, which I have, and as did my husband. So, you know, that's where I probably slipped away a little bit from that sacrament, but never my faith and never my church. But it's brought me peace and joy, and the wonderful expression that you use, I've stolen a little bit. I must admit that I'm going to tuck you into my rosary
thank you.
Today as well. And I think it's such a beautiful expression to tell people that I am praying for them, and I will be praying for you, and all you've done
you.
For me in my heart. I am very, very grateful and blessed.
Oh, thank you, Peggy. I just got an anointing on that when you said that. I just felt like I was being wrapped up in a blanket. So thank you for that. That just brings me such joy.
God bless you, and God bless you and your family and all that you do for others. And in this difficult week, I will be holding you in prayer.
Oh, thank you, Peggy. God bless you. What a beautiful woman you are. Thank
you
very, very much. God bless you, too.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. How beautiful it is, you know. when you realize that people are praying for you. And if you've ever gone through a trial, my guess is that you can acknowledge that it makes all the difference in the world and the way that you can handle it. And this is the beautiful reality of the mystical body of Christ, that we stand there with each other as Jesus making this time. And so we invite you to pray for those that are in need, you know, and I'll receive every prayer. I'll tell you that. And I pray for you every day, for all of you, our listeners, and specifically when we get calls, you know, that are difficult calls. I'll remember those individuals by name. So I invite you to do the same. Let's see what God wants to do in us. Let's see what God wants to do through us. We've got Patricia with us. She's from Houston, Texas, listening to us via Sirius XM station 130. Good morning, Patricia.
Hi, Jeanette. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to talk to you. It's my first time calling your show, but I listen any chance I get.
Oh, thank you, Patricia. May God be praised for that. Thank you.
Sorry about the loss of your dad.
Thank you.
It's going to be with you. I just called to say I do not agree with the first caller. I mostly am confused about why people take a shot at the Catholic faith most of the time. They denigrate the faith, and then they try to deride the efforts of people who teach the faith. Just this morning, I was watching Daily Mass, and I said to myself, because I always look, everything is from the Bible. I saw the Responsoria Sanctae today. It was even from Galatians. I remember I looked at, I can't remember the chapter or the verse, but I saw it was from Galatians. And I'm like, everything's from the Bible. Just this morning, I was saying that to myself. But I don't understand where they come up with this. The scriptures are being taken from them or hidden from them, or they're worshiping Mary. And I adore my mother, my earthly mother. So I just don't understand why people don't get it. It's just, and I really thank you for the way you answered the first caller. I just don't get why they put so much energy into being negative towards the faith.
Well, you know, it's a good question. Of course, we don't know the motivations of individuals. We don't know what drives them in that way. I think that sometimes it can become a type of justification for the fact that they're no longer practicing the Catholic faith. I don't know. I also think that there's a lot of misconceptions out there, Patricia, and sometimes people become a victim to the misconceptions of the Catholic faith that are spouted by many fundamentalist Protestants who really have also been misled by improper attitudes and ideas about the faith. We have many Protestant pastors that call us here on the airwaves. A couple of them call me frequently, and we hear them on the air, who have great respect for the church. So when we hear, you know, these misconceptions, I think that we do need to correct them. We're going to go to a break. If you want to hold, I'll come right back to you. Patricia, we're inviting you to call us too, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams. Stay tuned. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. Very happy to be with you today, inviting you to give us a call here. Toll free for you right here in the United States and Canada, 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986 is the number to use if you're here in North America. If you're outside of North America, you can call us too, country code 1-205-271-2985. 85. Always good to hear from you. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page also present us to you there, and I can wave to you because I am with you live. And there we go. So we invite you to register your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement right there in the chat feature. It comes up here. Jeff gets it to me. Yay, yay for Jeff Burson. Yay, yay for Michael Birchfield. Oh, what a happy little threesome. We are when we are proclaiming the word of God together through these airwaves. Let's get on back to our phone calls. That was Patricia. Patricia, again, thank you very much for your call. I am so glad that you appreciate sacred scripture. I am so glad that you love the Bible. I am so glad that you hear the voice of God speaking to you through those pages of your Bible. And may we all continue to explore the great treasure that our sacred scriptures give to us. Let's go to Jane. She's in Louisiana this morning. Catholic Community Radio is the way that she is with us. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Let's go to Jane. She's in Louisiana.
Hi, Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to tell you that
I love your show. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, thanks,
Jane.
And
almost feel like sometimes when I'm talking to you that that always addresses the issues that I'm dealing with that day.
That's the Holy Spirit for you.
It is. It is. And today I was listening and I said, well, I need some special prayers.
Sure.
You know, I'm going through, my husband and myself are just waiting for some news on some medical issues, and it could possibly, you know, not go good for us. And there's, I mean, how do you keep the faith and, you know, and try to stay on track and also keep your mind wrapped around reality in case you have to start planning for something that might be what you had planned on for the rest of your life?
Yeah, Jane, you know, it's a difficult thing. And first of all, I don't think that there's a greater misery when illnesses are being diagnosed than waiting for news on tests that have been run. That is very, very difficult for us. And it kind of puts us into a no man's land, kind of a limbo. And one of the things that can really ratchet up is fear. And the evil one wants to paralyze us with fear. And he wants to plant all kinds of thoughts and ideas in our head. And he wants us to rush all the way down, you know, the field to the end zone with these thoughts and the ideas. And oftentimes he'll take them in a direction that doesn't portend good things. And we've got to safeguard ourselves against that. And realize that in the midst of this struggle of waiting, that we've got to keep ourselves very, very focused on the grace of the present moment. Okay. And as soon as those thoughts come in, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And what if it turns out to be this? And what if it turns out to be that? And how will we plan? As soon as those thoughts begin to come into your mind, you've got to take control of your imagination through an act of the will. And you've got to say, okay, now wait a second. God knows precisely what he is entrusting to us, whether it be good news or bad news. And the only thing that I really need to be concerned about is the fact that I am available to the grace that he's giving me in this present moment, to wait this moment, to wait for the next moment, to the grace will come, and it'll be there in the moment where we receive whatever news it is that we're going to receive. And, you know, so that takes a little bit of self-discipline. But in doing that, what we do is we praise and we thank God for the virtue of hope. And we say, thank you, God, that you've given me this virtue of hope, that I can trust in you, that I do know that you make provision for me, that I do know that you will give me the grace that I need to handle whatever it is that you're asking me to handle, whether it be joy or sorrow, whether it be trial or whether it be, complete peace. Whatever it is that you're offering to me, I know that you are there with me. And so I would encourage you to do that. And I would encourage you to pray, obviously. And for me, you know, I think that it must have been so difficult for our Blessed Lady to watch her son climb that Via Dolorosa. Must have been so awful for her, knowing what the end result was going to be and watching him be beaten and tormented and mocked and ridiculed. How hard. But the Holy Spirit was there and gave her every grace. And I sometimes like to turn to our mother and say to her, Mother, please procure for me from your spouse, the Holy Spirit, exactly the grace that I need now. And through your maternal intercession for me, in union with your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, may it be effected in my life. And Jane, you know, I will feel calmed down. You know, it will calm me down from where it is that my imagination would seek to take me.
You know, you don't want to even start thinking about reality, because then you feel like you're betraying the hope that you need to hold on to.
Right. Well, and the fact is, sweetheart, you don't know what the reality is yet, right? All you know is that the test was done. So you don't know what the reality of the situation is. You're waiting to find that out.
Right.
So again, the evil one will try to convince us that the worst option, the worst case scenario is reality. But we can't allow ourselves.
And I keep saying, get behind me, get behind me.
That's right.
I want to be strong.
That's right.
Because I have to be.
That's right.
And so I appreciate that. I appreciate the prayer and telling me to stay strong. And I will repeat asking for grace and hoping.
Yeah. Well, let's do this, sweetheart.
And I do.
The board is telling me that your husband went in for a biopsy. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So why don't we say a prayer? Okay, let's do that together. I'm going to ask all of our listening family to join us as we pray for Jane and as we pray for especially her husband and as we pray for them in this moment of not knowing, where there is no certitude yet. And so it is that we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we do come before you in this moment and we lift Jane up to you. We lift her husband up to you. We lift up this valley of tears that is this time of unknowing. We know that you have a perfect plan for them, but sometimes your plan is affected through the pain and the suffering that goes on until we know what that plan is. And so I would ask that through your mercy and kindness, you would dispense upon your daughter Jane and upon her husband every spiritual blessing in the heavens that they need. You tell us in Ephesians 1 verse 3 that you give us every spiritual blessing. And so we know that the blessings are there. You hold nothing back, but give us all. And so I would ask for all of those blessings now to be present to Jane. And I would ask that she would experience a lifting in her heart. I would ask that she would be experiencing an infusion of hope. I would ask that she would be experiencing a greater increase in perseverance and fortitude as she and her husband make their way through this time to what they will discover through this biopsy. And Father, we pray for a good biopsy report. We pray that there would be nothing there that would cause any kind of serious disease to be in her husband's body. And we just ask you to place angels around this area of his body so that no cell can escape. And we pray that through the effect of the healing power of the Holy Spirit, that any disease that is there would be rendered null and void in him. We pray this. We pray, Lord, for complete and total health, complete and total restoration. I pray this for all people who have had biopsies. I just know, Jane, that there's many people listening that are in exactly your position. They're waiting to hear results from tests. And I pray for all of them, Lord God. I pray that you would, through your mercy and kindness, bring them peace, bring them hope, bring them healing. Bring them restoration and renewal in you and through you. And I pray, Father God, that in these moments, there is an opportunity to grow spiritually in all of the ways in which we need to place our confidence in you and you alone. And so I would ask this to be affected even as we are praying these words. And may Jane find sweet comfort in the arms of her mother who will hold her close to her most immaculate heart as she sojourns through these uncertain days. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Honey, I'm going to tuck you into my rosary today and your husband with you, okay?
Thank you very much. And I love your show. And
thank
I
you.
Listen to you almost every day. And thank you so much for that special prayer. I really appreciate it. And I will keep the faith.
Oh, God bless you. And you too, sweetheart. And I will tell you that, you know, I'm just going to keep you in the forefront of my heart. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, baby.
Thank you for taking my call today, ma'am.
You're welcome, darling. Bye-bye now. Yeah, you know, those, golly gee. Anyone that's walked this road knows how difficult it is. And anybody that's walking that road right now knows how difficult it is. But, you know, we don't walk it alone. Just remember that. We all walk it together. We walk it together with prayers for each other. We walk it together through the good guidance of the Holy Spirit. We walk it together through the merits of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we walk it together with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. I am so happy to be Catholic. Praise be to God for that. So is Susan, who's with us from Facebook. She says, how sad for the caller who felt she didn't feel close to Jesus at the church. I'm a revert, and I'm so thankful for the huge history and traditions of our church. I learned my faith through EWTN starting 25 years ago with a 2-year catechism program with Bishop Foley of happy memory, who has now gone on to the Lord. Bishop Foley's teaching, I never stopped learning and love reading the Bible daily. I teach religious ed at my church. Love my faith and love in capital letters. Well, Susan, I do too. And I'm so grateful to God for what he's done for us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the institution of the church that Jesus founded. Let us go to Braden. He is with us from Garden City, Kansas this morning. St. Gabriel Radio is the way he's there. Hey, how are you, good man?
I'm good, and how are you?
Very dandy, thank you.
Awesome. Cool. So, I'm a priest for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay.
Not a member, but I wanted to tell you guys, all of your listeners and everything, that I love the Catholic religion so much. I love the people. They're absolutely wonderful. You guys love Jesus Christ, and especially in this world, I know as me as a leader in my church, I'm extremely grateful that there are more people that love Jesus Christ. And I just wanted you guys to know that there are people outside of the religion that do appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much, Braden. That means so, so very much to us. And, you know, Jesus prayed before his crucifixion that we would all be one. And I know that that is the will of the Father. And someday, you know, may he join us together as one. And may we all experience that profound and glorious truth that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. You buoy up my spirits today. Thank you so very much for your call. It means just a
Absolutely.
Tremendous amount.
Absolutely. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for your call. Yeah, you know, and here's an example, this good man stands with many who call in frequently to tell us that they admire the church, they love the church. I always like to extend an invitation, Braden, to learn more about the faith, you know, and see how it is that this joy can be experienced by everybody. So thank you for your call. Let's go to Rosemarie. She's with us from South Dakota. Real Presence Radio is the way she's with us. Good morning, Rosemarie. How are you, sweetheart?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well,
thank you. I want to offer my condolences on the loss of your father.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you so much.
And also, I have a friend named Meryl, and she's going to have surgery on her hip next Monday.
Okay.
She fell, like, maybe going on 2 or 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then she has screws put in, and then she injured her shoulder, and she also injured her hip at that time. Don't they have to replace her hip? But after they replace her hip and she recovers, they have to operate her shoulder.
Mm.
And I'd like some prayer for her.
Sure.
And then I have a question about the resurrection.
Okay.
When Jesus resurrected, did the angels assist him, and then the shroud of Turin, the cloth, was that given to Mary and then was passed down to St. John, who took care of Mary?
Well, that's a good question, Rosemarie. I don't think that any of us know exactly what happened in the tomb. There's a lot of speculation, and there's a lot that we're discovering through science that could have happened. We did a beautiful series of programs with a Dr. Wayne Phillips, who is an allergist, and he became involved with the Shroud of Turin because of his profession and his specialty as a doctor, and the various pollens that were discovered in the shroud. And those pollens actually kind of tell us the story of the shroud and where the shroud went. And so he's pieced this together, and it's really quite remarkable. And I would really encourage you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and to go to our Women of Grace exclusive opportunity there and to watch those programs. We've aired them at various times on EWTN. We generally always air that show during the Lenten season because it's so profound. And he, we did a series with him, and then we did a follow-up because it was new information. And he had some very insightful things to share with us about what actually may have transpired in the tomb what was that moment of resurrection like, and what was actually happening there, and what energy raised Jesus from the dead? How did that do things? And he explains all of that in that program, which has a whole lot to do with the Shroud of Turin. But remember too that there was an ancient burial cloth that was on Jesus' face, and when the apostles entered into the tomb, that was found. And so there's a type of mutual confirmation between the shroud and this burial cloth, which is, I think that burial cloth is in Spain. But all of that being said, I can't answer you directly because I don't know. I don't know about the burial cloth. If the shroud went to Our Lady in St. John, but it's all documented, you know, pretty carefully from what we do know. So I can't tell you what happened in there, but I think when we get to heaven, we can ask Jesus and he will tell us. So
all
let's.
Right. Has Mr. Phillips, has he written a book about it too?
No, he's not. No, he hasn't. But there are a lot of books on the shroud out there that you can find. And there's actually, you know, I'll bet you any money if you go out to YouTube and you put in his name. He's an MD. It's Wayne Phillips, MD, Dr. Wayne Phillips. I'll bet you there's a presentation on YouTube that you could watch where he explains it. And I'll bet you there's several out there on YouTube with regard to the shroud. So I want to encourage you to do that. But let's just take a moment and pray for your friend Merrill, okay?
All right.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we come before you in this moment. And first, I want to thank you for the gift of Rosemary and the love that she has for her friend and her concern for her friend. She shows this true empathetic quality that is one of the characteristics of authentic femininity. And I thank you for her maternal heart and her desire for her friend to get well. And so it is now that with this beautiful intention in Rosemary's heart and ours joined to hers, that we lift up Merrill to you. And we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, when she goes through surgery, all would be well, that she would be completely restored, completely healed, that she would enjoy many happy years, that she would get good service out of the surgery that will be performed, the new hip that she's likely to get. We ask, Father God, that there would be no residual effects. We ask that that place of operation would be filled with your angels and all would do well for her according to the will of the Father. And we do offer you this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Rosemary, thanks for your call, and thanks for your love for your friend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, darling. Bye-bye now. Very, very lovely. Well, let's go to Tim calling us from Michigan today. Ave Maria Radio is the way. We've got Tim with us. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So you know I have to ask you, what is your full name? Is it Tim?
Kimberly.
Kimberly, okay. There you go. Yeah. So how are you doing, Kimberly, Tim?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
I just, you know, wanted to comment. I'm going to try to make it short.
Okay.
I'm nervous, but I just wanted to comment that it's sad to me that other religions don't put Mary in the place that I think she deserves. You know, they think that we pray to Mary and the saints, which we don't. But Mary has helped me, and I've been a Catholic all my life. Mm-hmm. Mary has helped me with so many things that maybe I've been afraid to go to Jesus with or God with. So I have asked Mary. We had a little Fatima statue in our home growing up and in my mom's room. And my sister and I would put little notes under that statue when we needed help. And my mom found them one day and put them in a box, and we still have them. But Mary, every time I ask her for help to pray for me, she has helped me. And when my daughter was a baby, I was going through something, and I asked Mary for her help. And I wasn't even sure if she could hear me, so I asked her for a sign if she would pray to her son for me. And I asked for two bunnies playing. So I forgot about it, and a couple weeks went by. And leaving work one day, I stayed over, so that made it even more special because I should have been gone already. Leaving work, from under my car, a bunny ran from under my car, and it brought back, well, I asked for a bunny, and it started like running in the meadow in a little yard that we were by. And then I kind of said to myself, well, I asked for two bunnies. So as soon as that thought hit my mind, another bunny came, and they were hopping over each other playing. That is truly a sign that she helps us in our life.
Yes.
And who else to help us than someone's mother? you know,
right.
someone that they're close to, and that,
that's right.
you know, I would listen to my mom if someone asked my mom for help and I could give it.
Yes.
I would have a soft spot in my heart for my mom, and
yes.
I would help that person.
Sure.
I don't know. That's about all I have to say.
Thank you. And I think that what you've shared with us is so beautiful, and it just shows, you know, these little graces that God gives us to encourage us along our way. And, you know, when the putting of the intentions underneath the statue, it's not the statue. It's who the statue represents. And we ask Our Lady to exercise her role as a secondary, mediator between us, between God and man. This is something that's very, very scriptural. Jesus is the one intercessor, but we ask also for the intercession prayers of others, just as we do here on earth, to intercede for us. And that's what our mother loves to do. I mean, there she was, you know, in the upper room with the apostles. St. Luke is very clear to tell us that she was in the upper room. Why? He was very clear to tell us that she was in the upper room because he was communicating to us that she was there strengthening the apostles, strengthening the disciples, and she is there for us doing the same. Victoria from Dallas, Texas, honey, we don't have a chance to get to you, but she's listening via Guadalupe Radio, and she's a Protestant Anglican. She fell in love with EWTN, and obviously very concerned about where we are at this point in time. Victoria, call back tomorrow. We'll talk about it. God bless you all. Signing off for now, Johnette Williams. I'll be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you. Bye-bye now.